Blog Talk Radio.
Certainly wearing something today that does not match. I'm too fucking lazy to change it, so I'm proudly rocking something that doesn't match, and then when I get called after it later, I'm going to stand up for team don't match, if that is a team. If it's not a team, I just made it one. Holla at your boy. Got a lot of great stuff to talk about today. The Daily Beast has an article out about a roadblock to closing Guantanamo Bay. And obviously that's something that should concern all of us. And they name names, man. So they're pointing fingers. They're going, it's this person's fault. And we'll discuss what it is we should do about it. Well, obviously we'll discuss who's to blame, but then we'll also discuss what to do about it. So we're going to kick it off with that in just a second here. We have Republican presidential candidates saying that they don't want any paid maternity leave, which makes it so that Republican candidates in America are calling for a worse system than in Afghanistan. Stay classy. That's Carly Fiorina specifically, but I'm sure the rest of the – I don't even want to single her out specifically because I'm sure the other Republican candidates are like, yeah, no, we agree. We don't want paid maternity leave either. Fuck that. And then later on in the show, Donald Trump is actually continuing to talk about corruption. And I'm going to surprise you guys today with my takeaway from that story. And I'll give you one more tease. Oh, Fox News discussing gender-neutral toys. And naturally, they think it will fuck up the natural order of the universe, and people won't know if they want to be male or female as a result of it. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding. They have on experts who are basically the opposite of experts to peddle those crackpot theories. So let's get started here. And like I said, we'll kick it off with something pretty important involving Guantanamo Bay. The Daily Beast has an interesting article out about a roadblock to closing Guantanamo Bay. They say, quote, "The White House wants to quickly cut the number of detainees at Guantanamo Bay, but one man is standing in the way, President Obama's Defense Secretary Ash Carter. The White House believes that Carter is unwilling to be accountable for the transfer of Guantanamo detainees and their conduct post-release, even to the point of defying the president's policy on the detention facility. Carter's signature is needed for the release of 52 of the 116 detainees cleared for leaving the detention facility by several government agencies that have reviewed their files." So that's incredibly important. They continue here and say, "Current law bars federal funds from being used to transfer Guantanamo Bay prisoners to American soil, meaning that the administration has to find foreign countries willing to take the detainees. The 52 cleared detainees have been approved for release through an extensive interagency process, which includes the Pentagon. So far, Carter has signed off on only a handful of detainees at one time and has waited weeks to act on those cases." Okay, so very, very important that you guys understand exactly what they're saying here. What they're saying is these people are not guilty. We have no evidence on them. We can't keep them locked up because they're not guilty. They're so not guilty, even the Pentagon is like, yeah, let them go. When the Pentagon is saying, yeah, you could let them go, my goodness, these must be the most not guilty people in human history. But the one guy that's standing in the way is Ash Carter, because in his mind, he thinks, well, since I'm the guy that has to sign off on these people, if any of them happen to do something fucked up from here on out, well, then they're going to pin the blame on me, and I can't live with that. So instead, he wants on his record, oh, that's the guy who continued to take away people's civil liberties and their rights and illegally detain them and unconstitutionally detain them. Pretty sure that's one of the worst things you could ever have on your record. So Obama is basically out of moves when it comes to trying to find a way to close Guantanamo Bay, except to, here's his last out, as outlined by the Daily Beast. They say he could veto the defense bill and then demand that he gets final say on who can be transferred from Guantanamo. So if he vetoes the defense bill and says, I will only sign it if slash when you send it back to my desk and you tweak a provision or you put an amendment in there that says it's no longer on Ash Carter in order to sign off to let these people go. It's on me, the President of the United States. So he can veto it and say, send it back with that provision. And then, you know, if he's strong enough and if he has enough spine, if he has enough backbone, well, then he may actually be able to get this through. Here's the only problem with that. Obama has previously threatened to veto the NDAA, which authorizes funding for Guantanamo Bay, and he didn't do it. So, in other words, it was sent to his desk, and he was huffing and puffing and saying, well, I refuse to sign a bill that funds Guantanamo Bay because I want it shut down, nom, 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 nom. And then when he thought nobody was looking, he's like, okay, yeah, let me sign this here. Yeah, we can go ahead and fund it. Nah, oh, the big bad Republicans. Oh, my God, they twisted my arm. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to do what you said you were going to do. Veto it. You didn't veto it. So now it's the same thing. That's his last out, is he would have to veto it and tell them to make it so that he has the final word, and they're likely not going to do that. So we're in a position right now where the United States of America looks absolutely hideous. I mean, we've looked pretty bad starting from the Iraq War and moving forward. I mean, we even look bad just post-World War II with all of our interventions and whatnot. But it got really bad with the neocons and the Bush administration, invading countries that didn't attack us, staying there, taking the natural resources, you name it. CIA torture, that's another thing that the rest of the world looks at it, and they're like, you guys are the fucking criminals. You don't stand for freedom and democracy. You're the ones torturing people. You're the bad guys here. What's wrong with you? You don't realize that? So all that stuff is bad, and then now we got this on top of it. Now we have certain parts of our own government, certain agencies within our own government saying, yeah, these guys are not guilty, so like you can release them, dog. But other parts of the government are like, oh, I cannot do that. I'm afraid about what will happen to my reputation if I let them go. Your reputation is fucked right nowington, son. Do you not realize that? You're the one that's like, yeah, no trial, indefinitely detain them. Forget the Constitution, forget international law, forget rights, forget all that stuff. Irrelevant. Magna Carta my ass cheeks. Just keep them locked up because I'm worried about my own reputation. Again, like I said, that's an ironic thing to fear because your reputation is fucked up right now because of what you're doing. It's just because we're not talking about it right now does not mean that, oh, your reputation's in the clear, because the history books are going to look at you right in line with people like Dick Cheney and George Bush, who did horrendous things and didn't care about law, and they were the bad guys. The history books are going to look at you like that if you presided over holding innocent people in an extrajudicial scenario. So you just because people aren't barking at you right now doesn't mean that the history books will view you favorably. If you were to release them, because, again, there's no evidence that they're guilty, if you were to do that, well, then you actually would be making your reputation better. Because 50 years down the road, 100 years down the road, when they write about this in the history books, they're going to say, okay, well, President Obama needed this guy, Ash Carter, his signature, to let go the remaining innocent people at Guantanamo Bay. And, oh, they finally stood up on principle, and at the time, the country may have been against it, but he did what was right constitutionally, and oh, yes, we pat him on the back for that. The same way that if you look at somebody like Daniel Ellsberg, at the time he was, oh my God, a pariah, a traitor, he's treasonous, this and that, because he released the Pentagon Papers, which documented our crimes in Vietnam. At the time, he caught shit, because they're like, oh my God, you don't love America. And then later on, people go, oh no, wait, he was actually the right person, everybody else was wrong. He actually cared about transparency in government, and he cared about us doing the right thing and stuff like that. So I'm begging and pleading for Ash Carter to do the right thing here, but I won't hold my breath. So then it's on Obama to really grow a backbone and do the right thing, and again, I'm not going to hold my breath. Although on that one, it's more of a coin toss, because we've seen sometimes at the last minute he does the right thing. Hopefully he'll do it here. Okay. Next, we go to Carly Fiorina and her new fuck-up. GOP presidential candidate Carly Fiorina said on Sunday that she opposes paid maternity leave. So, of course, both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton recently came out in support of the concept. So with Fiorina's declaration, there are now various articles that rightly point out that she wants less protection for pregnant women than they have in Afghanistan. Afghanistan requires 13 weeks of mandatory maternity leave. Oh, I'm sorry, not mandatory, but they just offer 13 weeks of paid maternity leave. And they give 100% of a woman's earnings or salary while she's gone. In fact, out of 185 countries, the only other one other than the U.S. that doesn't offer some form of cash benefit to pregnant women, Papua New Guinea. The U.S. and Papua New Guinea and 185 other nations are looking at us like, really? You don't give any money and give people guaranteed time off when they're pregnant? I mean, that's a little fucking crazy. So in the U.S., we have 12 weeks that you can take off, and they can't fire you for taking those 12 weeks off, but it's unpaid. And there are stipulations, like you have to have worked for a company for over a year before it kicks in. So, I mean, classic U.S. move where we're dragging behind the rest of the world when it comes to the having a social safety net. And, I mean, immediately what came to my mind is, oh, wait a second, I understand why that is, too. Because if you look back in American history, maybe the only two presidents who were liberal enough to give a shit about having a social safety net, FDR, so we got to go back a while to find somebody who gives a shit about having a social safety net, and maybe to a slightly lesser degree, Lyndon B. Johnson. But the rest of them, even like JFK and Bill Clinton, like, they're very centrist/center-right kind of Democrats, pro-establishment, pro-corporation. And, you know, these are guys, Bill Clinton signed welfare reform, which did the opposite. It cut the social safety net. So that's why, I mean, the U.S., we've been getting fucked for so long, and people don't even realize it. Like, when you explain to people, do you understand what they get in other countries when, you know, somebody's pregnant and they need time off from work? If you ask that to an American, most of them will be like, I don't, what do you mean, what do they get? I don't know what they get. I mean, I would imagine it's similar to here, right? Where a lot of people work up until they fucking have to have the baby immediately, and they come back as soon as they can. That's not what it's like in other countries. Other countries actually have some level of human decency where they say, oh, you're struggling a little bit, you know, the first thing on your mind isn't crunching numbers in a fucking cubicle, okay, take X amount of time off, we'll pay you, it's all good. I mean, you would think that in the U.S. we would at least have gotten to the point where it's like, you don't get 100% of your salary, but hey, you can have 12 weeks off and here's half your salary the entire time. Nothing, bupkis, no guaranteed pay, which is stunning. So let me show you a chart here and you can look at the comparison. As you see there, the U.S. has zero paid maternity days, or obviously paid maternity weeks. Canada, 50. Norway, 44. Italy, 22. United Kingdom, 20. Denmark, 18. Venezuela, 18. France, 16. Spain, 16. Netherlands, 16. Germany, 14. Japan, 14. Mexico, 12. South Africa, 12. Pakistan, 12. Yay! We're number 186 in the world. That's what we are, baby. So this breaks my heart. You know what else breaks my heart? Paid vacation time. That's another area where people are just starting to catch on to it now, how fucked over they are. But again, for the longest time, we've been getting fucked and nobody knew about it. People just thought, like, what? That's what life is. You wake up, you go to work, you shut the fuck up, you listen to your boss, you come home, you eat some food, you go to sleep, you wake up, you repeat the process. Then you get maybe 2 days off a week if you're lucky, you get the weekend or whatever it is, and then you die. But in other countries, some places offer 14 weeks, 20 weeks, you know, paid vacation by law where you can tell your employer, I'm taking this amount of time off, and you're going to pay me. And it's not debatable. See, again, you say that to Americans, they're like, what? I don't get it. In America, I think the average is 1 week off. And I'm not even sure if that's paid or unpaid. Like, a decent job nowadays maybe gives you 2 weeks paid vacation. But again, that if they're paying you, that's on them. They decided to, you know, retain people or whatever. But many businesses offer no pay. They offer none. None whatsoever. So it's just, hey, you get a little time off, but of course we're not paying you. Because there's no law that says, hey, you need X amount of time off if you want to take it by law, and it's paid. So whether it's paid sick leave, paid maternity leave, paid maternity leave, we're getting fucked in all these different ways. And virtually the entire Republican Party is like, yeah, cry me a fucking river. Shut the fuck up. I don't care. We're not going to help you with that. And the Democratic Party is like, maybe every once in a while we'll do something that helps you. What if I get you one day guaranteed a paid vacation time? Would you be okay with that? That's my Harry Reid impression. Apparently he's the one that's leading this charge. I'll give you, like, a little bit of time off and give you, like, 3 nickels and a dime. Would you be okay with that? No, I need fucking both parties to give a shit about the American people and give a shit about their mental health and give a shit about their physical well-being. It's hard to stay healthy when all you're doing is sitting behind a fucking, sitting in a cubicle in an office all day, crunching numbers that you don't give a flying fuck about. So, I mean, we gotta modernize, man. We gotta evolve. I mean, I've argued, you guys know, technology is getting to the point where we can make it so that you work less hours and make the same amount of money. Because the productivity can be passed off to machines. You know, newfangled technology, these internets are wild. Yeah, I mean, if you go back and look at the shit they were saying in the early 1900s with the Industrial Revolution, Republican presidents, what's his face? Was it Taft? I think it was Taft, who said every worker should get 3 months off paid by law. And his reasoning was like, well, look, we got fucking machines now and shit. So why shouldn't everybody make the same and just press the machine, go home, have a sandwich, have some sex, watch the non-existent TV, because I don't think it existed yet, just relax, whatever. I mean, that was the conservative position back then. People thought, like, oh, we'll move into the future and we might, like, evolve past work. Now, I'm not, you know, in that camp. I'm not some, like, uber-liberal communitarian, anarchistic, like, oh, bro, you don't even have to work, it'll be great. I think that's silly. I think you do have to work, and I think most people understand that that's the case, but if you, 4 days a week, boom, let's shake on it right now. Plus paid sick leave, plus paid vacation days, you know, we can set up a system and structure it better, but we don't. And unfortunately, people like Carly Fiorina are leading that charge against a modernized system, and they're doing it proudly. Which is why you're going to be crushed. We're going to do a story about Alabama state senators, so you know it's going to be funny. Have we ever covered a story about an Alabama state senator and it wasn't fucking hilarious? Alabama state senator Paul Sanford thought it would be cute to set up a GoFundMe account to close the Alabama budget deficit. So he asked for $300 million, and as of Monday night, now what's incredible is that it actually worked, because as of Monday night, he raised a grand total of $325. from only 19 people! And all the people who donated, well, I shouldn't say that. Most of the people who donated were just like being smarmy assholes. Here, I donated $5 so that you don't fucking cut Medicaid, you pricks. Other people were like, here, I'll give you $15 and make sure that you teach your kids about condoms, you idiots. Oh my God, this is such a sad, sad story. So he said the state is, quote, experiencing tight financial times. Legislators are debating possible – should I be doing this in an Alabama accent? I think I should. Legislators are debating possible financial solutions but are finding that raising taxes are not wanted by the citizens of Alabama. Rather than have the government come after your hard-earned money, you can now send an amount that fits your budget, even request where your money be used. Okay, but wait. You guys are always bitching about freeloaders and parasites and moochers and beggars who don't want to pay their fair share. Ah, lazy, lazy poor people and stuff. So, but that's what you're doing right now. You're like, yeah, we done spent all the money and stuff, and we got a big old deficit, but we don't even really know how to pay for it. So can y'all please, like, give us money on GoFundMe? We'd appreciate it. So then who's the beggar? Who's the moocher? Who's the parasite? You are. You had shitty priorities. You spent all the money in a fucked up way. You ran a tremendous deficit, and now you're begging to the people of Alabama, and actually to people all around the world, oh, please, I know you worked hard and did the right thing. Can I please have your money even though I fucked up and was terrible with these finances? So don't talk to me about fucking fiscal responsibility. This is the party that screams about fiscal responsibility. They run up a $300 million deficit and go begging for a pocket change in order to close the gap. You're the one that's fiscally irresponsible. By the way, who was the last president to actually balance the budget? Oh, it was Bill Clinton. That's right. He was a Democrat. I thought it would tax and spend liberals. Really? They balanced the budget, though. That's weird. Who increased the deficit and the debt tremendously? Ronald Reagan. It was a record when he left office. Who also increased it? George H.W. Bush. Who else increased it? George W. Bush. Who's been cutting the deficit tremendously since he got into office? President Obama. So, and by the way, these are your priorities. You guys say you care deeply about the deficit. Well, the Democrats have been much, much better, according to your own ideology, on that issue. But you're still like, oh, the goddamn Democrats. They're fiscally irresponsible. Anyway, I'm going to go beg for more money to try to close this gap here that we done created. God, you're so sad. And this also, by the way, directly refutes their idea that taxes can be voluntary. I've heard that argument before from libertarians. Ayn Rand, in one of her books, proposed that. She's like, well, come on. The problem is taxation, by definition, is use of force. They're putting a gun to your head and saying, give me money. I'm against that in principle. So instead, we should have voluntary taxes. They always say, well, the government should be really small, small enough to drown in a bathtub. But for the services that we have or that we need, like courts and police, well, that should be funded voluntarily. Yeah, because that's going to work. And by the way, even if some people did step up to the plate to fund the police or fund the court system, do you think that they'd be doing that out of the kindness of their hearts, or would they give that money to the police and the courts knowing, like, I'm buying myself a private police force here, and I'm buying myself a private court system where I know I can get away with anything because I fund these guys and they depend on me? I mean, the entire mindset, the ideology is backwards. Well, if you just make it voluntary, everything will work. How many times have we heard they'll argue, whenever a liberal says we should probably raise taxes on the rich so they pay their fair share, you have people like Sean Hannity who are like, why don't you just voluntarily send a check in? Because if one person does it, that defeats the purpose, because then you're not getting the amount of revenue you need. You need it across the board for people in a certain income bracket in order to pay for the things that are necessary to create a good society, a healthy society. It's like they're trying to be dense and miss the point when you talk about this stuff. Now, because they didn't raise taxes, what did they have to cut? Quote, nearly $200 million from state agencies, including Medicaid and mental health services. So you're cutting something that is necessary for people with mental health problems, and you're cutting health care for poor people because you didn't want to raise taxes a little bit to close your budget gap, and then you go beg for it on GoFundMe. If you vote for this party, if you vote for these people, you're either ignorant, so you don't know the facts, you don't know what they're doing, or you're stupid. I don't see any other way to describe it, because anybody can understand that this is a clusterfuck and this is silliness, and it's absolutely comical. In fact, the internet just roasted this guy over this, rightfully so. So come on, guys, even in states like Alabama, deep red states, get your shit together, man. They're not looking out for you. They don't give a fuck about you. And they're really not that bright, as this proves. Okay. Whew. Let's take a break. When we come back, Donald Trump is continuing to discuss the issue of corruption. Rick Perry's presidential campaign is in trouble. And we got some updates on Ferguson. A year after the death of Michael Brown, there's some renewed protesting there and some speed bumps, and there's a bunch of stuff that's worthy of discussion. So everybody stay right there. Buckle up. We're just getting started here today. Blog Talk Radio, Secular Talk Radio, Kyle Klinsky Show. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Trump is continuing to discuss the issue of corruption. He did it on Fox and Friends today. Let's listen.
But, you know, for my whole life I've been a business person. I would give to everybody, Steve, everybody. Mm-hmm. And frankly, people treated me very nicely. They always returned my calls, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not really a good thing for the system. I mean, the system is based on that. When I look at Bush raising $114 million, everybody that gave him money, every single one of those people that gave him money is getting something. Okay, I guarantee you that. I know half of the people. Probably I know all of the people. I used to be those people. I used to be, you know, I'd give to everybody. Bush has raised a lot of money. Hillary's raised a lot of money. A lot of these people have raised a lot of money. Those people that put up the money, those are not people that are not expecting big, big things, and some of those things are counter to what's good for the country. Believe me, they are.
You know, this is like the third or fourth time we've covered a story where he talks about this, and that's not even all of the times that he's discussed it. He's discussed it other times, and I've, you know, let it go and not covered it on the show because we had already covered it a bunch of times. So I'm going to say something controversial and unacceptable right now. I actually think it's a positive thing that Donald Trump is running in the Republican primary. Now, make no mistake about it. Don't put words in my mouth or thoughts in my head. I'm not saying he should win. I'm not saying I want him to be president. That would be fucking insane. I'm the guy who recently did a segment, actually I said it probably three or four times as well, that I think he might actually be special needs. Like, I think he's got issues, man. There's a disconnect between, you know, what he thinks people think of him and what they actually think of him, and he's incapable of perceiving that kind of stuff. So he's dense. Like, there's some issues going on upstairs. But on this point of corruption, he's 100% right. And, like I said, it's not like he just brought it up once or twice in passing. He said this time and time and time and time and time and time again. And if Donald Trump, with all his pompousness and arrogance, can make this issue an issue that's understood more, not only by the American people, but by the right wing, I think that's tremendous. I think that's a positive thing. Now, the polls already show, depending on what poll you look at, somewhere between 70% and 90% of the American people are like, yeah, we should limit corruption, we should get the money out of politics, we should do campaign finance reform and stuff like that. But the thing that always depressed me is that if you were to ask any individual who answered on the correct side of that poll how the corruption works, they can't tell you. They don't know the nuance, they don't know the details, they don't know the inner workings of the system, they don't understand that it was a variety of Supreme Court cases that led us down this path of money equaling free speech, and then super PACs and corporations and lobbyists, and they can't tell you, oh, okay, so the donors give the politicians money, and then the politicians do the bidding of the donors, and they mask it as if they're just doing official business. Like, oh, we just did a subsidy to ExxonMobil and to oil companies for $4 billion a year, we're doing our official business. In reality, what is it? It's a corporate welfare check. That's what a subsidy is. They just give them $4 billion. Why? Because ExxonMobil paid their bribes. They paid the politicians. So simply based on the fact that Donald Trump is up there and he's talking about this and he's repeatedly talking about this, I think it's actually having a positive influence in the Republican primary. Now, understand, another reason why it's a positive thing he's in the race is that the Republican bar is so low to begin with that if any of them say anything reasonable, it's better than not having that person in the race. You see what I mean? Like, if you go back and you look at, you know, the last two election cycles where there were Republican primary debates, like, what'd you have? You had Newt Gingrich, for example, played the role of Donald Trump. See, Newt Gingrich, he may be sharper than Donald Trump and more intelligent than Donald Trump, but he's also just a bigger liar. He's just more corrupt, and he doesn't want to change that system in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, yet whether you have Mitt Romney or John McCain or all these people, they were such a product of the system that they're not questioning the roots of the system. They love that system because they know all the people who got all the money, so they can raise money to get their name out there more, and they might win. So what I'm saying is, solely based on the fact, like, Donald Trump is still a crazy person, and I still would never vote for him. But solely based on the fact that he keeps bringing up this issue and he's describing to people how it works and they're going, oh, okay, yeah, I see what he's saying. That's a positive impact, man. That's a positive impact because now we have a situation where because of Donald Trump and how pompous he is, in the last debate, at a Republican primary debate on Fox News of all places, there was agreement that we live in an oligarchy. Donald Trump's like, yeah, no, I'm going to tell you how it works. I gave them money, and they did whatever the fuck I wanted them to do. Now, again, in other cocktail establishment circles, they'd be like, oh, how dare you say that? Oh, you're offending these great men and women, these kind gentlemen. Oh, you're hurting their feelings. That's not right, and that's not true. But it is true, and it is right. That is how it works. And he's exposing this rotting system. And all the other idiots on stage walked right into the trap, too. They're like, oh, maybe if you don't get the nomination, Donald, can you give me money? I want to be bought by you, too. Yay! And that's something that it's better. If more people see that, it's better. They need to hear that. They need to see that. They need to understand that we are not a democracy anymore. It's a fact we're not a democracy. We're an oligarchy. We're a kleptocracy. We're a plutocracy. All these words basically mean the same thing, by the way, if you get confused every time I bring these up. So what that means is government of, by, and for the rich. So there's an overclass, there's a ruling class, and a Princeton political science study proved that there's zero effect from 1980 and onward of what the American people want and what we end up getting in terms of policy. We have no effect, none. Where is there a direct correlation? What does the upper class want? What does the donor class want, the lobbyist class, the billionaires? Whatever they want, they get, because they're the ones paying the politicians. And the more he keeps talking about this, the more he keeps repeating it, you're raising awareness on a serious issue. Again, I want to be clear. I would never vote for Donald Trump. What a ridiculous human being he is. And he's just, he's not that bright, and virtually every other idea he has is stupid. Okay, but on this one issue, he is raising awareness among people who normally don't think about this shit, the Republican base, and that's a positive thing. And if you can get, if you can marry together the right-wing base and the left-wing base on this issue, and to a certain extent they already are married together on it because they agree on it, but if they can understand why it is they agree on it, and they know what the solution is, namely Wolfpack, a constitutional amendment to get the money out of politics, well then rock and roll, man. You know, I'm all for this, and I think that in total, or in conclusion, or if you look at the system and how it's functioning right now, or you look at the race and how it's going, it's a net positive that he's in there. So it sounds like a crazy thing to say, it sounds like a ridiculous thing to say, and I feel a little ridiculous even throwing it out there, but I think it's true. If he keeps mentioning this point, and he keeps bringing it up, and he keeps hammering it home as only Donald Trump can, well, then you're raising awareness, and you're diagnosing the problem properly as to why the system is broken, and then it's a much higher likelihood that we can actually act on it to fix it. Okay. Next. Now we go to Rick Perry. Somebody who's also dumb but doesn't have the upside of exposing corruption. The National Journal is out with a bombshell report on Rick Perry's presidential campaign. They say it's in at least one or two stories a day, man. I forget how to speak. The National Journal is out with a bombshell report on Rick Perry's presidential campaign, and they say it's in dire financial straits, and he has stopped paying his campaign staffers. That's a quote. They say, quote, he has stopped paying his campaign staffers. So it started with his six staffers in South Carolina. A lot of grassroots support for Rick Perry out there, right? Six people. They barely were able to muster up in South Carolina. And other outlets later reported that money shortages extended to all campaign staffers. So people originally reported, well, the problems are just in South Carolina. And then later on, people were like, looks more like he stopped paying everybody. They say, quote, GOP political consultant Rick Wilson said a senior Perry official denied the stories and claimed the funding shortages are limited to South Carolina operations. Well, why don't you just literally pick up a white flag and wave it? I go, yeah, you got us. That's one hell of a counterargument, right? Hey, man, I heard you guys stopped paying your staffers all around America. Come on, dude, come on. Just in South Carolina. Okay, well, it's clearly happening. You know, the damage is done, and tick-tock, it's a matter of time till you run out of the rest of your money. By the way, they say in, you know, the second quarter, I don't even know what that means, but that's what they said. That's how they phrased it in the article. Rick Perry's only raised $1 million. Now, again, I don't know what kind of a time span we're talking about there with that, but I'd imagine people like Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush and the rest of them probably raised a hell of a lot more money than he did. They were like, he had $1 million, and now we're down to like 880,000. This is, guys, you got to understand, this is fucking peanuts. This is peanuts when you're talking about running a presidential campaign. Having said that, I actually kind of, for the first time in my life ever, sympathize with Rick Perry on this. Because you guys know my position. When it comes to elections, money shouldn't matter. We should ban private donations. Because if you do private donations, of course, the people are going to listen to the people giving them the money. And it's the corporations and the lobbyists and the billionaires who give them the money, so they do their bidding. But what's so sad about Rick Perry is that he's a guy who's clear. He's on the record. He'll go to Wall Street, knock on the door, and be like, I'll do whatever the fuck you want. You want me to tickle your balls? I'll tickle your balls as I gently caress your shaft. He'll go to them and say that, and they're like, not interested. He's like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. They're like, not interested. You're just not dynamic enough. You're not charismatic enough. You're a silly person. Did you know in the last debate, first of all, he didn't make it to the main debate. He was in the kids' table debate. Oh, my God, that's so pathetic. Because you were a big player last time. You just didn't make it the second time. Oh, my God, that's so sad. But he said Ronald Raven. I want to follow in the footsteps of Ronald Raven. Now, I get it. You're just slipping up there and stuff, and it happens. But his entire debate performance was one giant slip-up. In fact, I said it when I was watching it. I said, Rick Perry's back on the stuff. And I feel bad for him because a while back he had a back injury. They put him on some pain pills. I don't know about you guys, but if you ever have them pain pills, woo-wee! You better hope you don't have an addictive personality because they're fun. I don't have the same kind of addictive I don't get addicted to substances, so I can't really sympathize with him on that, or I can't understand it because my mindset is different, but I'll take those things for fun every once in a while, and goddamn are they fun. You understand how somebody can say Ronald Raven when they're on that shit. So I feel bad for him, I do, because the money shouldn't matter, but in Rick Perry's case, if you remove the money from the equation, he's still going to fail miserably. In fact, I think he would fail even more miserably if you remove the money from the equation. He would have never made it past, day one in a presidential campaign. Why? Because he's not a guy who represents people. He's not a guy who actually gives a shit about the people. He's all about the establishment. He's all about selling out. That's in his character. That's who he is. He's George Bush minus 6 IQ points. You really want to go that low on the IQ scale? That's craziness. So it's just a matter of time, man, until he's done. You can call it now. I mean, he's already polling super low. He crashed and burned the last time around. He tried to do this rehab tour where he's like, I'm a new man. I got some glasses on. Now I'm smarter. And it didn't work. And it didn't work because it's not true that you're smarter. You're still the same dunce you were before. And now nobody likes you. So move along. Okay, next. Let's go to Ferguson, because there's a bunch of stuff to talk about regarding that. The Guardian is reporting that the Pentagon is telling Ferguson police that they have to return the Humvees that they're using. They say, quote, the city of Ferguson, Missouri is being forced by the Obama administration to return two military vehicles that it obtained from the Pentagon amid widespread concern and criticism over the deployment on American streets of equipment intended for war zones. Now, the story gets crazy because the police department is like, yeah, we disagree. What the fuck are you talking about? Do you not? These are the same guys that are always screaming about the Constitution. Do you not know how the Constitution works? Do you not know how the Supremacy Clause works? Federal law overrides state law. So if under federal law you did something that's incorrect, you took these Humvees, you're not supposed to take these Humvees, then you can't say, I disagree, we're going to keep them. No, you have to listen. This isn't a fucking debate. This isn't a discussion. You have to listen to them. This is your boss speaking. Hey, you're not allowed to have those Humvees. We're going to take them back. They're like, no, we disagree. We say we did have permission to take these. Well, fuck. I mean, what do you expect is going to happen here? If you go to court over this, of course you're going to lose. Of course you're going to lose. But they're still fighting, and they're saying, no, we still want to have the military equipment. Gee, I wonder why they want to still have the military equipment. It couldn't be because that's a police department that has consistently overly militaristic and has a track record of overt racism in many cases. So this highlights a huge problem with police militarization. And understand, guys, even the attempted reforms are minor. Because they're saying, hey, give us back these two Humvees. It's not like these guys don't have other things that are, military-grade equipment. Of course they do, and they use them on a regular basis. They were using them the other day. And most of the reforms only slow down the continued militarization of police. They don't actually slam on the brakes and reverse the process. this is like the only instance, and they make this clear in the article, this is the only instance where the government has ever said, like, okay, you can give us those things back now. But there are extremely extenuating circumstances where even they had to admit, like, yeah, that's ridiculous that we even ever had this in place in the first place. Certain things that are military weapons that ended up in the hands of police. So get this. The Guardian says, quote, while police are now formally banned from receiving armed helicopters, tracked tank-like vehicles, firearms 50 caliber or higher, or grenade launchers, police departments have received $1 billion a year for terrorism prevention from the Department of Homeland Security, and since 1990, a different federal program has disbursed $5.6 billion worth of military gear to cops. All right, so fully understand what they're saying here. They're saying, okay, we're going to be moderate on this one, guys. We're going to be centrists. Let's be reasonable here. We're not going to allow the police departments to have armed helicopters. Oh, how kind of you. Tracked tank-like vehicles, so you can't have tanks. Ooh, don't be too hard on the police departments. Firearms 50 caliber or higher, or grenade launchers. We're going to stop these police from having tanks and grenade launchers. Aren't we centrists? Praise us for demilitarizing the cops. What the fuck are you talking about? No. What you did is you basically made it so that the cops in America are now not going to be basically even better armed than the military. You're making it so that, you know, they're not equal to the military in terms of their weaponry, but they're still motherfucking close, dude. If they're 80% of the way there, 90% of the way there, the laundry list of other shit that they use that they shouldn't be using and that they basically view as toys now, and there's the heart of the problem. I mean, as we discussed last year when the protests happened after Michael Brown's death, these police officers were using tear gas, were using noise machines, were using rubber bullets, were using these Humvees, and they were being super aggressive, and oftentimes they used it not only on peaceful protesters, but on journalists, too! On journalists! They shot a tear gas can, I think it was at Al Jazeera reporters at the time. When all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So you give these guys military-grade weaponry, and all of a sudden, it looks when they're looking at peaceful protesters, all of a sudden, in their eyes, those peaceful protesters start to look a hell of a lot more like ISIS. They start to look a lot more like Al-Qaeda. They start to look a lot more like some opposition force that is an army and an enemy. But the reality is, one side is peaceful protesting. But the overwhelming majority of the time, they have their signs, they're calling for civil liberties and justice, and you're out there armed to the fucking teeth, and then you demand praise when all you did was use tear gas on them and rubber bullets and noise machines and giant fucking Humvees and you're decked out in fucking Kevlar and all that shit. No, you're not getting any fucking praise. What you need to do is get retrained. We need to totally change the training of all the different police departments in America and demilitarize these cops. I wouldn't just take away their fucking grenade launchers and tanks. I'd take away everything but their fucking handguns. And by the way, as I've said before, I'm not one of these people that says, let's go full, Europe style and, you know, just they don't carry guns anymore. I don't agree with that. But what I do agree with is they should have the gun in the car and they only when they go to a scene, the only time that they bring it with them, or I should say wear it on them, is when they already know they're showing up to a situation that's where there's an active shooter. Okay, so you understand what I'm saying there? So they should still have the gun, and if they're showing up to a place where, oh my God, there's a mass shooting reported here or there or something, well, obviously, then they show up with the gun. But, you know, if it's a situation where there's no clear and immediate danger, well, when you have your gun on you and you're trained to fucking snap immediately, and to always shoot first, ask questions later, well, then there's going to be many more deaths associated to the fact that you're wearing the gun to begin with. Whereas if you kept it in the car and only took it with you when necessary, guaranteed the number of, you know, unarmed civilian deaths would go down tremendously, of course, because you can't immediately pull for the gun. The first reaction when you have to resort to violence should be some sort of incapacitating round. And unfortunately, that's not what we're dealing with anymore, and we see so many deaths as a result of that. And needless to say, when you're dealing with majority peaceful protesters, you should not resort to pepper spray or rubber bullets or tear gas or any of that stuff in that scenario. That's when you say, hey, we have a First Amendment, we have a Constitution, we should be demilitarized and we should let them do their thing as long as they don't, you know, start acting violent, which in the majority of cases they don't. So, I mean, the sad thing is that even under a Democratic administration, what are we looking at here? We're looking at a situation where they say, the Democrats say, oh, look at us, we're being reasonable, we're cracking down on police militarization, and their idea of doing that is take away the grenade launchers and the tanks. You're not being strong enough, man. I mean, they shouldn't have almost all of this stuff. I mean, I get, like, you know, if you want to have the Kevlar vests and stuff like that, of course, that's fine. But outside of that, no, they shouldn't have military-grade weaponry because the population is not Al-Qaeda, is not ISIS, is not the enemy. When they say protect and serve, it means protect and serve the people. Protect and serve the ones who you're fucking shooting at now. So it's just we need to go further and we need to be more intelligent in how we address these problems. And we're not doing that because we've wholly embraced this us versus them mentality. And too many people are willing to look at other American citizens and say they are by default the enemy because you know how they are. And usually when they have that mindset, they're thinking of black Americans. All right, one more here, and then we'll take a final break. On the week of the anniversary of the death of Michael Brown, there's been some protests in Ferguson from the Black Lives Matter movement, and unfortunately, the police have regressed to using many of the same illegal tactics that they used last year. Now, a few days ago, there was an incident where an officer was allegedly shot at and attacked, and this officer and some other officers returned fire and shot somebody. Now, all the details of that are unclear, so I'm not going to dive into that until we have more information. But on top of that, there's been a lot of stuff going on. So D. Ray McKesson, who's now a well-known civil rights activist, he was arrested for doing a sit-in at a government building. Cornel West as well was also arrested, and there's been this wide crackdown on peaceful protesters. But amazingly, get this, the cops also cracked down on reporters again. So this is one of the things that got the most heat during the last round of protests immediately after Michael Brown's death. And the Ferguson Police Department was like, yeah, we don't care. We're going to double down on that. So Ryan Riley of HuffPost and Wesley Lowry of The Washington Post have been charged with trespassing and interfering with a police officer's performance. So that means that they can face over $1,000 in fines or a year in jail or both. So apparently the police haven't learned, man. What they're doing here is they're trying to make an example out of these guys. And here's a point that somebody made. I forget who made this point, but it's totally true. If this is what happens when the world is watching them, imagine what happens when the world is not watching the Ferguson police and other police departments around the world too, or around the U.S. too. They're in essence, what they're doing here, they're effectively saying you have no First Amendment rights. There is no freedom of the press. If you come into our territory and you report on bad things that we do, the police, well, we're going to trump up some bullshit charge and we're going to come after you. And, in the case of Ryan Riley, oh, you didn't leave McDonald's fast enough, you're trespassing and you're interfering with an officer's blah-de-blah. So now a year in jail. Whoa. No, man, I would, in all seriousness, I'd go nuclear on this if I was the federal government. I would say, oh, so you want to charge reporters for doing their job. That's interesting. Oh, would you look at that? It looks like we just cut all federal funding that goes to the city of Ferguson, that goes to the police department. Hey, all of the military equipment that you guys get. And you get federal grants for that. There's Department of Homeland Security programs and Pentagon programs that you get all these toys and all these goodies. Oh, not only did all that funding get cut off, we're actually coming and we're repossessing all the shit you already have. You want to play this game, bitch? You want to crack down on the First Amendment rights of reporters? You want to act like we don't live in a free society. Well, I'll teach you we do live in a free society. The criminals here are not the reporters who are doing their job. The criminals here are you. You're the bad guys. You're the ones who don't believe in civil liberties. You're the ones who don't believe in people's rights. And you think, well, if I do something fucked up, well, we get to cover that up. And the media can't report on that because we're the cops. We're the good guys by definition. No, you're not the good guys by definition. Just because you wear a badge doesn't mean you get to get away with anything you want to fucking get away with. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Fucking Colonel Gaddafi? Is that who you think you are? Oh, I will silence anybody. I will censure anybody that disagrees with me or reports what I do in a bad light. Oh, you sure you want to go down that road? Try to censure them, and then we're going to report on the fact that you're censuring them. We'll be up your fucking ass here. We're going to go through every single thing you've ever done at that police department with a fine-tooth comb, and we will crack the fuck down on you. We will charge you for every minor infraction that you've done. And don't tell me that the Ferguson Police Department doesn't have a history and a litany of fucked up, racist, illegal actions, because we know they do. It's been proven already to this point. Don't play this game with us, son. You want to play this game or you want to smarten up? If you smarten up, you release these reporters, you release the peaceful protesters, and you sit by and you watch them exercise their First Amendment rights. Okay, this isn't a us versus them. That's not how the country, the United States of America, is supposed to function. It's supposed to be a government of, by, and for the people. But you guys want to turn this into an us versus them, and you want to say, I don't tolerate any dissent. Well, there are other countries that are much more conducive to that kind of ideology. Go to any dictatorship you want to go to. Go to any theocracy you want to go to. Fascism is your friend. Go and hang out over there, man. That's not how we function here in the United States of America, and I would teach them a fucking lesson to fuck with reporters and to fuck with peaceful protesters. That's not how you do it. And in conclusion, let's just call it what it is, man. It's the peaceful protesters practicing their First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, freedom to protest, and the reporters who are doing freedom of the press, they are the most American in this scenario. The people who are the most un-American, of course, are the cops and the justice system, which is trying to say, we're going to lock you up because you pissed off an officer and you didn't listen to their exact words at every single second, so we're going to give you a bullshit charge to shut you up and get you out of Ferguson. That's the idea. Don't report on our wrongdoings or we're going to crack down on you. No, no, no. We're going to crack down on you. We're fucking coming after you, and you better watch your back. Not the other way around. They're un-American pricks, man. All right, let's take a break when we come back. I'm not done with Ferguson yet. I got one more for that. And then we'll move on to some Fox News stuff and some Pat Robertson stuff. All right, stay right there. My love.
charge of losing his head. I could be so much anxious sad. You could be my baby. Will you be my lady? Girl, you're amazing. You gotta do nothing crazy. See, all I want you to do is be my love.
Don't give away.
My love.
Don't give away.
My love.
Don't give away.
In the middle of that woman, you can take your spot. My love.
Don't give away.
My love.
Don't give away.
My love.
Don't give away.
In the middle of that woman, you can take your spot. My love.
It's going to be a little difficult for you to follow along because you can't see the pictures. Probably be up later on YouTube and you could see it there. All right. Since it's the anniversary week of the killing of Michael Brown, there are some protests happening in Ferguson. And the internet found quite a bit of hypocrisy on the part of law enforcement in how they treat different residents. So first, let's take a look at one of the arrests made here. Now, originally, people thought that this girl was 12 years old. It's understandable to see why that is. I mean, she's tiny. But that's actually not true. She's 18 years old. And she was arrested for resisting arrest. I always find that hilarious when people say that. Because it's resisting arrest, but what were they originally being arrested for? And they were like, well, interfering with somebody else's arrest. Oh, come on. I mean, the things that they crack down over, we know what it's really about. The idea is, hey, know your place. Know your place. That's what's really going on here. So anyway, people saw this and they were like, that the optics of that are horrible. It looks like a freaking child. Like, even though she is 18... when I look at her, at least from this picture, and granted other pictures might contradict this or what have you, but I don't think that's an 18-year-old. I do think it's a younger person, and the officer is probably thinking the same way, but they did not give a fuck. So, there's the first picture. Now, others have also been arrested for cell phone video. We've seen that time and time again, where cops start shouting down some young black kid because they're taking a cell phone video. Oh, move away. Oh, you can't show this. Oh, it's illegal to do this. Well, that stuff's not true, but they'll shut it down by any means necessary. Now, compare those things to this. That's weird. These are Oath Keepers. That's what they're called. The group is Oath Keepers, who, quote, seek to protect individual liberty through the formation of highly armed independent militias. So what's going on here exactly? I mean, well, they're seeking to protect individual liberty through militias, so I guess what they're there for is to make sure that the cops don't take away the civil liberties and the rights of the journalists, right? Because they're cracking down on them for doing good reporting. That's what they're there for, to protect the journalists, right? Or perhaps they're there to make sure that everybody gets due process and justice is done when the police officers crack down on the black community, oftentimes unnecessarily, for bullshit reasons. That's why they're there, right? No, of course they're not there for that. What they're really there for is, make sure these goddamn Negroes don't act up too much. We're going to protect the white stores, what we're going to do. So, let's understand this, man. You have Camo carrying guns. And the cops not only aren't fazed by it, they're buddy-buddy with these people. whereas black people with cell phone videos and black people who look like children are getting handcuffed and getting locked up. Don't tell me that there isn't a double standard. You know damn well if there was a group of 26-year-old young black men out there wearing the exact same thing that these white guys are wearing, immediately the officers would either start firing or immediately start arresting, or they would run and duck and take cover and call out the fucking tanks and the grenade launchers and all types of shit. Okay, so don't tell me there's no hypocrisy. Don't tell me there's no double standard. Everybody listening to this knows there is a double standard. I don't give a fuck how uber conservative you are. Now, here's where some people say, yeah, but Kyle, if the young black men had the guns, they would be looking for trouble. Whereas these white guys, they're not looking for trouble. They would never do something like, for example, point a gun in a threatening way at a federal officer, right? Oopsie daisy. This would be from the Bundy Ranch protest. Armed white dudes, ultra-right-wingers, pointing guns at federal agents. Now, what's hilarious is that in conservative circles, when this was going on, what were they talking about? What were they saying? Oh, God, wonderful patriots standing up for their Second Amendment rights and fighting big government. And, oh, they care about the Constitution. These are great Americans, great Americans, great Americans. But when you have black people who are fighting not just a perceived grievance, in the case of Clive and Bundy, it wasn't even a legitimate grievance. In this guy's case, in the case of everybody in Ferguson, it is a legitimate grievance. Black communities around the United States of America have been a police state for a very long time now. Don't take my word for it. Take Michael A. Wood's word for it. He was a cop in Baltimore, and he basically came out recently and said, what, did you think the black people were lying this entire time? Son, they've been right all along. Yes, they try to enforce, like, quotas of how many people to arrest, and once he said, I was sent to a white neighborhood one time, and I couldn't arrest anybody. So what did I do? I ran back into the black neighborhood and looked for black people who were selling drugs just so they could feed their kids, and I would arrest them. He said one time there was a guy who was selling drugs, and he was crying to him, and he's like, well, I'm just trying to feed my kids, man. There's no other options for me. There's no opportunity here. And that's when Michael A. Wood realized, like, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm locking up people who are just trying to get by, and we're perpetuating this, you know, school-to-prison cycle here, and oftentimes the prisons involved are private prisons, and they make money off of locking up innocent black people. This is the new Jim Crow idea that's been talked about now for a while. It's totally true. I mean, we have to stop the drug war because it basically allows a crackdown on minority communities all across the U.S. And they're over-policed, and they have no civil liberties. They don't have due process. They don't have their rights. They don't have their rights. Michael A. Wood spoke about how they would constantly do illegal searches, but they get away with it. So in one case, you have a legitimate grievance and people protesting it peacefully, and the cops are cracking down, using tear gas, locking people up unnecessarily. In the other case, you have ultra-right wing, who the guy simply doesn't want to pay his taxes and money that he owes the government because he's been a moocher the entire time. And they can point guns at federal agents, nothing. Fucking crickets. They're heroes, heroes! No, you guys have it exactly backwards. And you know, I know, everybody listening to this knows, there absolutely is a tremendous problem in America when it comes to policing. For both races, yes, white people got fucked over too in many respects, no doubt about it. But don't tell me there's not an extra layer of fucked up that's directed at black people, because you know there is. All right, next. Lighten up the mood here a little bit and move along to Fox News. Let's see what they got going for us. Psychotherapist Tom Kersting of A&E's Surviving Marriage, it's a reality show, went on Fox News, and he discussed a new plan from Target. They want to release gender-neutral toys, so let's see what he has to say about it.
Well, here's ask you about Target, because there's something interesting going around. The retailer has just announced that Friday it will phase out gender-based signage in some departments, toys and bedding. What do you think?
I think we're going a little overboard with that. I understand there's this whole gender-neutral agenda going on, and I actually have clients of mine that are don't really know what gender they are. But what about people, you know, the question I have is, what about I don't want to confuse kids that are young when we take them to a toy store with having them question what their gender is. That's the problem I have. I think Target, after reading the comments, a lot of people are not happy with it, and I saw people stating that they're not going to shop there anymore. So I think they might have stepped a little bit overboard.
All right, let me be clear about this. So if I was the CEO or the head of Target, I wouldn't have decided to phase out gender-based toys. And it's basically because I don't think gender-based toys are inherently sexist. I think there's nothing wrong with it if a male kid wants to play with typically male-oriented toys, or a female wants to play with more female-oriented toys, or if they do a little crossover and there's a male kid who likes to play with the typically feminine toys and vice versa. I have no problem with it. You can play with whatever fucking toys you want, and I don't think there's anything inherently sexist about it. I think it is what it is, if you will. So if I'm the head of Target, I wouldn't have necessarily made this decision because it wouldn't have crossed my mind, and I don't think it's a big deal. But having said that, if they made that decision on their own, so I'm not the head of Target, clearly, but whoever's in management over there, they decided, well, let's just phase it out because, I don't know, whatever. Some people like dolls, some people like G.I. Joes, some people like pushing fake little kid lawnmowers, some people like playing kitchen, whatever. But let's just remove, I don't even know what their plan is, remove the pink and the blue colors to differentiate the gender, whatever it is. I don't care. So in other words, they make that decision. I'm not outraged. I'm not going to attack them and go, how dare you make gender-neutral toys, fascists? No, I just say, it's a little awkward. I would have never thought of that because I don't think gender-based toys are sexist, but okay, it is what it is. You know, you do whatever the fuck you want, right? So having said that, listen to his point, man. He's saying, well, I mean, once you get rid of the gender-based toys, obviously kids are going to get confused and they won't know what gender they are. No, see, that's the thing, man. On this show, on some issues, I like to say I'm just a flat-out moderate. One of those issues is gender issues. I tend to agree a lot with traditional feminists. I disagree big time with, like, third-wave feminists. So, again, I'm a moderate on these issues, but when you hear people on Fox News say stuff like this, you want to go, oh, fuck. Like, they think they're keeping it real and standing up for truth and being like, ah, these crazy liberals with their nonsense. And the reality is, no, you're the ones that are the peddlers of the nonsense. You know, it's like when Fox News, sometimes they do segments where they start out mocking some gender-based idea, some third-wave feminist idea, which is a silly idea, and they start out mocking it, but then by the end of it, they're all like, yeah, get women back in the kitchen, know what I'm saying? They should cook sandwiches and do the sideways hula hoop. Seriously, that's, what's her face? Andrea Tantaro said that recently. Well, I don't see what's wrong with it. Make him a sandwich and do the sideways hula hoop, a.k.a. fuck him. Feed him, fuck him, don't talk so much. What's the problem? That's your role, women, that's your role. They always go too far with it. They always go too far with it. So make no mistake about it, man. And on these gender issues in general, like my argument to people has been all along, don't be seduced by the idiots on either side. And that's not a false equivalence. I think that's a true equivalence. I think there really are, you know, some silly ideas where people say everything ever about gender, ever. There's nothing biologically different about gender. Of course there is. Of course there is. Different hormone levels, different genitalia, and some other things as well. So don't buy into the ultra neo-feminist slash third-wave feminist stuff, but definitely don't buy into the Fox News nonsense where people are either misogynists on Fox News outright or they just say dumb things that are untrue. Psychotherapists, oh yeah, I'm an expert, so let me tell you, the kids are going to question their gender if you get rid of gender-based toys. No, they're going to know exactly what they are. And guess what, man? Sometimes, if you're born male, you feel male. And that's fine. If you're born female and you feel female, that's fine too. That's going to be the majority of people. And then other times you're born male and you basically have a female brain. I'm not judging. I think that's fine. You're born female, you have a male brain. I'm not judging. I think that's fine. Or you're born male and you're attracted to the same sex. Born female, attracted to the same sex. That's fine. I'm in favor of tolerance. I'm in favor of not judging. But these guys, what it all comes down to is they need to judge. Everything, oh, fit it in a little box. Fit it in a little box. Okay, if you take away the gender-based toys, things aren't as clearly rigid and strict as they were before, so now kids are going to be confused. You know, little Johnny's going to be like, do I have a vagina, Mommy? I don't know. No, little Johnny, you're 2.5 years old, and you can see your penis. I like how the mommy sounded like a man there. See? Not judging. Tolerance. Hashtag tolerance. We're open-minded on this show. But you see what they're doing, man. You know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to say, a slippery slope! It's a slippery slope. Once you get rid of the gender-based toys, what's next? I don't care what's next, because I don't think it's that big a deal. I don't think this leads to fucking implementing concentration camps or totalitarianism. I think it's an attempt to be more open-minded and to say, hey, it's cool no matter what gender you are and how you identify. Either way, it's fine. And I think the core of that makes sense, and the core of that is intelligent, whereas the core of what you're saying is horseshit. You made it up. You get rid of gender toys, people aren't going to know their own identity. No, you know what it is? It might be that this guy himself struggles with his own identity. So he constantly needed reinforcing when he was younger, and he's like, well, other kids are going to be confused too. I was confused about my gender. I'm still confused about my gender, so the kids, they're gonna struggle with it. No, the overwhelming majority do not struggle with it, and the more open-minded we can be with accepting people, then we'll get to a point eventually, hopefully, where virtually nobody struggles with it, and they understand it's just different. It's not better. It's just different. It's just something else, man. You know, it's like, hey, my favorite color is blue. My favorite color is green. Okay, it's just different. Whatever. No big deal. Hey, I'm a straight white male. Oh, hey, well, I'm a trans black woman. Oh, okay. Well, it is what it is, man. I'm not judging you. Nobody's inherently better, worse, evil, anything. It is what it is. That's where we're trying to get to, and that makes sense. What doesn't make sense is everything said here on Fox. All right, let's go to Pat Roberts. Pat Robertson spoke about pro-gay Christians, and he has some harsh words for them.
Hey, this is a viewer who says, I was visiting a church with a Christian friend of mine. I was shocked that the pastor was openly gay and talked about this with everyone. I asked my friend if he accepted this, and he said he did because he didn't think it was a sin. I left the church later and told my friend I would not be going back because I think this is a sin against Christianity. Was I right or wrong to leave?
The Bible is very explicit about that. In the Old Testament, it's called an abomination. It's abomination for a man to lie with a man as with a woman, or abomination. The Apostle Paul said, no homosexual or adulterer or fornicator is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's no question about it. And to have a church saying it's not a sin, it's okay, they're leading people down the road to perdition, and it's a shame. But if I were you, I'd stay far away from them, because they're not, you know, we love the sinner but hate the sin, but nevertheless, it's a problem.
Road to perdition is damnation. So road to hell, in other words. So if you're a pro-gay Christian or a gay Christian, you're going to hell, and you're leading people to hell. So no, you're not okay. Every single time we have this conversation, all it takes is one counterexample, which absolutely blows up his whole argument. So you say, hey, in the Bible, in Leviticus, it's anti-gay. And they're clear. It's an abomination. Can't do it. Well, what else is in the Bible? Oh, I don't know. Shaving is an abomination. Shaving. You're not allowed to shave in the Bible. If you do, it's an affront to God. It's an abomination. It's filed in the exact same category as being gay, doing homosexual acts. Pat, not only do you shave, I've never seen you with even a little bit of stubble. You've never even had a fucking 5 o'clock shadow, which means you shave likely every single day. So if you want to judge gays and point your finger at them and say you're going to hell, that's fine. But everybody should point their finger at you and say, you're going to hell. You're going to hell for violating stuff in the same book as is the stuff that you quote about hating gays. Just one more example, and we can go on and on here, but Pat Robertson is a wealthy man. And we went over how many Bible quotes yesterday? 4, 5, 6? Where direct quotes from the Bible that not only does it say, hey, being poor is superior, it says rich people cannot get into heaven. It's unequivocal, unequivocal. The story of Lazarus, for example, in the Bible. What God says to Lazarus is, hey, you were rich on earth. I'm not letting you into heaven. You had material well-being on earth. And poor people inherit the kingdom of God. They go to heaven. Rich people do not. They're not allowed in. So understand, man, it's unambiguous. It is anti-rich. Pat Robertson, you are rich. You are a sinner in the eyes of God. You are an abomination in the eyes of God. You're supposed to get rid of everything you own, give it away, and follow Jesus. Just wear rags. But you're not going to do that because you're cherry-picking. And that's what this boils down to, man. And by the way, this is why I'm against all religion. Because all you're having here is a dueling cherry-picking contest, even between the Christians that I love and the ones I hate, like Pat Robertson. So whether it's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. or Pat Robertson, or whether you're talking about Malala Yousafzai or Malcolm X versus Al-Qaeda in the religion of Islam, of course, all anybody's ever doing is having a dueling cherry-picking contest. So the good Christians will say, well, Jesus loves the poor, so we shouldn't cut any social safety net programs. Jesus hated war, so we shouldn't do war. And it's okay, great. Yes, I like the fact that you're cherry-picking those verses. But what about the other verses that you ignore? What about the stuff that says hate gays? What about that? What about all the backwards social nonsense? We live in a police state, and your body gets controlled because the religion says your body should be controlled. What about that? What about that? And to Pat, I'd say the opposite. What about all the good liberal stuff? You ignore that stuff. And to Muslims, I'd say the same thing. Look, okay, so the Quran is anti-racism and it's very pro-charity. Oh, great, wonderful. You're in favor of those things? I applaud you for that. But then there's also plenty of passages about killing the infidel, and there's plenty of anti-gay hatred and stuff like that in there as well. So why are we having this dueling cherry-picking contest? Nobody wins that discussion. Nobody wins. Now, obviously, I would like it if the liberal Christians, the liberal Muslims, and the liberal religious people all around the world do win the debate. But my point is, if you actually go based off of logic and reason and facts, nobody is actually going to win it because you're both just cherry-picking from the same book. So there is no actual winner. I hope that one side does win and that they convince more people, but still there is no real winner because you're just cherry-picking. So my approach is, you just say it's all factually incorrect, it's all not true, so why would I follow that? When you can derive your morals, and people do derive their morals, in a much more rational way. I mean, it's not like you need some sort of desert book filled with myths to understand that, you know, I probably shouldn't kill Todd. That seems like a bad idea. You know, I probably shouldn't take somebody's stuff. That seems like a terrible idea. I probably shouldn't do war unless it's a last line of defense, and it's self-preservation. You know, I shouldn't torture people. And that seems like a pretty rational thing, but ironically what happens? Oftentimes it's the people who are religious, who in the name of their religion can justify and rationalize the worst atrocities, because when you think the Almighty is on your side and you're convinced of it, you manage to act so fucked up. And that's what we see here, for example, with Pat Robertson. He's so convinced he's right in his selective interpretation of the Bible that he really thinks, if you support gays, you're going to hell. But he doesn't realize that this motherfucker, again, shaves, he eats shellfish, he's rich, so he's going to hell as well. But he's brainwashed himself enough to do nothing but spew hatred all day long and arrogantly think he's nailing it. Okay. Next. I got to squeeze in one more here, So I'm running out of time. Raw Story has an incredible report out from a few days ago about a hilarious and terrifying old-school judge in Texas. And I mean super traditional slash old-school. So they say, quote, Justin Bundy stood before Smith County Judge Randall Rogers in mid-July on misdemeanor charges of assault after getting into a fight with the ex-boyfriend of his girlfriend at the time, Elizabeth James. According to Bundy, the judge gave him a choice, 15 days in jail or marry his girlfriend within 30 days as part of his probation. His sentence also included writing out Bible verses. Oh my God. Oh my God. You know what else the judge said? When this guy was explaining what he did and why he did it, he's like, I know my mom and dad had done raise me better, but I had to do it to protect my girlfriend's honor. The judge was like, you know, son, I probably would have done did the same thing. Here's what I'm going to do for you. He said, you marry her in 30 days, or, you know, you spend 15 days in jail. And also, you got to read some Bible verses that I pick for you. I read this. I'm like, what fucking country are we living in? Is the year 1213 right now and I missed it? What's happening right now? I didn't know a court could do that. In fact, I don't think a court can do that. A court can say, marry her, I'm putting you in jail. What is that? What else can they make you do? I mean, you're getting scary close to, like, come clean my bathrooms on Thursday or else you're going to jail. What? This is what we're dealing with here? This sounds to me like a common law approach to dealing with crime, but we don't have a system of common law. That's not how it works. You don't give this wide discretion to the judge where they can pick anything, get married and read the Bible. Well, the Bible thing obviously violates the First Amendment. It violates the Constitution. But even the marry thing, what the fuck is that? And they were like, look, man, not everybody in our family could make it. It was too short notice. It wasn't like we expected. But they did it. They fucking did it. They got married. Man, this is like borderline dictatorship slash theocracy slash I don't know what's going on. But look, I'm pleading to judges all throughout Red State America. Pump your brakes. Just because you have an opinion on something doesn't mean that you get to impose on other people's lives. You know, whatever happened to the old school, you either have a fine. Here's a fine. You have to pay the fine. Or you have to go do some fucking community service. Go to a rehab center. These are the things. These are within your purview. You get 3 days in jail. Whatever. You can't, I need you to clean my truck. Get married to Denise. Buy me a shotgun. Wipe my ass. And do all this other stuff. You can't do that, man. You can't do that. This is America. These goofballs. I follow the news for a living, but every day I'm still surprised by something that's happening in the country that I didn't think was possible and I didn't think was allowed. Apparently it is. All right, guys. I'm out of time. I love ye. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody. Peace.